Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 454. And tonight, we are actually doing what we said we were going to do. We are going to recap the newest season of Black Mirror episode USS Callister Into Infinity. It is the sequel to USS Callister, which was, God, 4 years ago?
Yeah, how long ago? 2017, I think, is when it came out.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Gracious.
A long while ago. But yeah, and I was about to say, oh, they made it a sequel, but they didn't redo all the same beats from the first one. I'm like, well, they kind of did a repeat of the first story because it's all the characters having to get out of something and escape the same way it was in the first one. But They have shed so much more light on how this entire situation got started from the very beginning, and it's fascinating.
Yes. But we did want to just go ahead and right before we do the recap, there were two things that happened in current events today, and we wanted to mention them, and they're both kind of bummers, so we figured we would mention them first so that we could end with USS Callister, because spoilers, we were really happy with USS Callister Into Infinity.
We really were.
Yep. So first of all, most importantly, we just got the news this morning that Pope Francis died.
Which is shocking, although not terribly shocking. Apparently he had congestive lung failure for quite a while, and I think pneumonia and bronchitis did for him, and his heart just gave out, but he was 88 years old and he's done some amazing things. And our friend David shared a post that has like the candidates for the next pope, and it is a wide range of stuff. There's somebody from Ghana who is incredibly liberal, like pro LGBTQ rights, that kind of thing. And then there's somebody else who is listed as more progressive than the last guy, more left-leaning. So
wow,
that's pretty surprising. And I didn't memorize any of the names, but there's literally somebody who is listed as anti-LGBTQ rights and altar girls, because he sent out, I think he's in Sri Lanka, and he apparently sent out this notification to the churches in his diocese that they were not to have female altar guild, because that is something that is usually seen as a starting point for the priesthood for men, I think, is that they started, and they didn't want to, like, I don't know, maybe he thought there wouldn't be enough room, but it's just like the letter specifically said that it really needs to focus on young boys. And I'm like, oh, dude, read the room. God.
Yeah. I heard that there is also, and I want to say his name is Burke, and he's a cardinal in the United States. And apparently the chances of them making a American pope is very, very small, because that would give America way too much power over.
Boy, howdy.
My God. Yeah. But this guy, he is like pro-Trump, right-leaning. He talks about like the man crisis in the Catholic Church, that not enough men are joining the Catholic Church, and he blames women altar girls as well. And so, yeah, it's like, chances are not good of him getting elected. However, the reel that I saw this morning said for Americans to brace yourself, because we're going to be hearing a lot about him in the coming weeks and
months. Yes, God. I mean, just a tangent. There was somebody, some talking head, whatever, that decided he's running for governor of California. And one of the things that he thought would be a good idea is if male immigrants are immediately deported, but women immigrants are to be given the option they can stay in the country if they marry incels.
And like,
which is like, so, but there was one person who stepped in and was like, okay, guys, I know this is awful, but this guy has about as much of a chance of winning the governorship of California as I do, and I live in Kentucky. So it's just, we're going to have some really, really out there things going on for the run up to the elections in 2026, and also now the Pope being chosen. So everybody just give yourself a stiff drink and let's settle in here.
Oh boy, it's going to take a while. Oh, man alive. Okay, so not nearly as important, but still interesting in a kind of bummer way. Neil Gaiman is apparently, I guess he's suing the woman who had come out to talk about the fact that he had basically had a relationship with her that he had coerced her into because she was staying on his property, and he insinuated that he would throw her out with her young son unless she, you know, had a sexual relationship with him. He's suing her now because she went against her NDA, and it's just, you're like, What was the post that you saw? Someone said, this guy raped me, and the other guy says, hey, you said you would never talk about that. And it's like, isn't that just admitting that you did it?
It is. A bunch of people have said Gaiman needs to fire his PR person, because that is like, if you didn't think his reputation was trashed up until now, the fact that he's going after someone who accused him of sexual assault and he doesn't seem to be denying that it's happened, that he's just mad that she was talking about it. So it's just, oh, God. I wish a lot of comments over and over again. Gaiman, go away. Go away. Just go away. Take all the money that you have earned from all the wonderful writing you did before you revealed what an awful person you are, and just go away.
Yeah. You know, I actually did get rid of a lot of my old Sandman graphic novels.
Really?
So I'm
thinking about going...
No, wait. Hang on. Let me change that. I did not get rid of a lot of Sandman graphic novels. I got rid of a lot of Neil Gaiman graphic novels, and they were all graphic novels that I don't think that I was ever going to read again, and certain books of his. I still have all the Sandman, but there were other things that I had only kept out of kind of a completist kind of thing, and then I was like, well, if I'm never going to read them anyway, I might as well just make some room on my shelves. So, hey, the independent bookstore crawl is this weekend in San Diego, so I'm going to buy some more graphic novels.
Yes, well, I got rid of American Gods, and I still like that book, but I had to face the fact that I have not even opened that, but there was dust on the top of that book. I had not opened it in years, and the chances of me reading it even before now were pretty low. So, yeah, I just went ahead and traded that one in. It's fine.
Okay, so that's enough of bummer news. Now we want to talk about USS Callister Into Infinity, which I did start watching another Black Mirror episode, but it's one that's kind of a send-up of both the awfulness of streaming services and also the awfulness of the American healthcare system. And it's just, I'm not even halfway through it. It's at that point where you as the reader, the watcher, know that things are going to get really bad, but the characters haven't figured it out yet. And you're like, oh God, and then to switch over and watch USS Callister, which was really lovely.
And I saw, I think it was The Vulture, they did their recap of the episode. And the person writing that really thought that the showrunner skimped on effort on the other episodes of the season and then just poured the rest of that effort into USS Callister Into Infinity.
Wow.
So
wow.
I don't know. It makes me not really want to watch any of the other episodes, but I'm very glad I watched this one.
Yeah.
So a quick and dirty summary of what this whole episode is about. Nanette on the USS Callister is with her crew, and they are having to rob other players just to survive because the owner of the company that runs the game is monetizing everything, and they have no other way of bringing in money for credits. So they're having to attack people, and it's causing a lot of suspicion because they don't have player tags, which means they didn't log in from outside of the system. So that's kind of a red flag. But also, if you shoot one of the players, they do this like metallic pixelated thing and explode, and then they just, you see them startling awake in their dorm room or their beautifully set up bedroom for that one character that I thought was awesome. But Nanette and the rest of the crew on the USS Callister, if they get shot, they bleed. And if they get killed, that's it. And we've already lost one of the crew members by the time the episode starts, Shania. And I found out it was because the actress Michaela Cole, she had a scheduling conflict. But it works because it gives you some real stakes, because Nanette is like freaking out because they don't have enough credits. It's getting harder and harder. They've got so many people that hate them that can just keep coming back when you kill them, and she can still smell the blood from when Shania got blown up in front of her. So that's a good way to start it out.
It is. Now, in the real world, we are seeing what's happening in the real world, and we see the real world Nanette coming into work, and she is having this intense guilt because she had, of course, been blackmailed into going into what's-his-bucket's...
Daly.
Into going into his place to get a hold of the DNA stuff and everything. And then he died. And so she's kind of like, anytime someone says something to her, she's just a giant flinch at this point.
And meanwhile, the owner of the company, Walton, the first part of the episode made me not feel as bad that his clone on the USS Callister got obliterated, sacrificing himself. Because Walton in the real world is a jerk, and he doesn't know any of his employees' names, and he's constantly dismissive. One of the programmers tries to bring in the information about these bandits that are robbing people, and he doesn't want to hear it, so the guy just quits because he's so dismissive. And then Walton gets a visit from a journalist who he thinks is going to interview him about Daly passing away, but in reality, it's because he's figured out that Daly had a hold of a DNA cloner, because he saw it in some of the police body cams. And apparently, that technology was banned as a human rights violation, which I approve of, but the fact that he had that is going to look really, really bad to the company. So now Walton's taking it seriously.
Yeah. Boy, it was just so creepy because, you know, the human rights violation, it's like, yeah, people were doing exactly what basically Daly was doing. They were making clones of people to live in a virtual reality, and then they could do anything they wanted to them. And it was horrible, 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 which, you know, they never really did. That wasn't a thing that they mentioned in the original USS Callister thing, that he had this technology. I don't think anybody even talked about just how awful it would be that anybody had access to something like this. And that's because it was terribly illegal.
It was very illegal. And I just assumed that Daly had made it himself, that he was a brilliant inventor, that he had created that. But more on that later. So Nanette listens in on the meeting with the journalist. And I got to say, that journalist was really nicely unflappable because, I mean, Walton was just threatening to absolutely sue him. And the guy's like, sure. Very dismissive of that. But so he's pacing around. Meanwhile, Nanette knows what's going on because she was blackmailed, but she figured out that the call where she was blackmailed by came from inside Daly's computer. So she's hearing about these bandits that don't have a player tag and all this stuff going on. So she goes and talks to Walton. And I got to give it up for Jimmy Simpson, who played Walton. He's great because there are a couple of instances like this one coming up where he just turns on an absolute dime with it.
Because
he's pacing, he's impatient. She tries to walk in. He's like, I really don't have time for you. And she says, I know how to fix your bandit problem. And he says, oh, I didn't hear you knock. Come in. Just that fast. It was great. But he gives her permission to use that other employee's call logs to take a look at the reports about these bandits. And I love how they brought everybody up to speed, because you don't want a whole lot of exposition and you don't want to sit there and wait for people to get it. But at the same time, seeing Nanette and Walton realize what's happening was always great, because she's hearing her coworkers in the background. And then she takes a look at a bit of footage from the attack from one of the people that got attacked by somebody who didn't have a player tag. And she's recognizing voices. So she knows what's going on now. And she takes all of this information to Walton, and he's the one that lets her know that he got all of Daly's stuff when Daly died, and he has the DNA cloner. And she's like, oh my God, because when I went there, I had to get all these bags that had DNA samples from all of us, and I recognize everybody except this one. It's a lollipop, and it just says Tommy. And you can see Walton's face go, oh, yeah. He knows. It's like, oh God, it was his son that Daly did that, like cloned him and was doing God knows what to him in that universe.
Oh, God, so awful. Now, when is it that Walton, okay, one of the things is that they realize at one point on the USS Callister, I don't know how they came to this realization, though, that when Walton sacrificed himself and got blown up to get the ship running again, if even a particle of him was still there and was carried through in the transition to the Kelvinverse, or whatever we're calling the new universe that they got transferred into, that he might actually exist someplace.
Yep. And they figure out that when a new character spawns, they spawn at their own planet, like a new planet. One person who was complaining on the call log says, I got fragged on my own planet. So that's apparently a thing that everybody gets their own planet when they join the game. So they look and find which planet appeared at the time when they all appeared, and they go travel to that to see if they can find Walton, because what they've decided is they need to go to the Heart of Infinity, which is like the control nexus of this whole game, and try to get a new universe created that's locked off from the one with all the players, so they don't have to run and hide anymore. So they go to the planet.
And also, real world Nanette and Walton kind of come to the same realization, and they are actually going to use, what is it? They're using the, they're going in through the game to actually, they find the exact same planet for the exact same reason, which one got spawned right at the very beginning of all this stuff going on, and they plug into the game, and she has to give him instructions on how to do it because he's never actually been in the game before, which seems really weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's never tried the game before?
I think knowing what he reveals about how the game got started, I don't think that surprises me as much. I thought it was weird before, but yeah, she has to walk him through the whole process and they appear on the planet.
Right.
So we see this like caveman that is dressed in rags and, you know, got a long beard, and he's like using this homemade spear to stab this like tentacle thing in a pond and then eat it while it's still screaming. So he's obviously gone full feral. And then Nanette from the game, clone Nanette, she shows up and she's like, oh my God, Walton, it's me, it's Nanette. And like, he's doing the whole, like that, like full, you know, he's gone completely pre-verbal. He's just grunting. And she tells him who she is and that she's come to get him. And then he like, he puts down the spear and holds up his hand and said, oh, thank God you came for me. And like, again, instant change. And it was so damn funny.
it was great. And it was also like, I don't know, other shows might have like had a long time of like getting him back to remembering himself and coaxing him, all this kind of stuff. Nope. Instantly, he's like, we know exactly who he is. He knows who he is. It's fine.
Yep. And then they meet the Nanette and Walton from outside the game who have logged in, and they manage to get everybody transported back up to the USS Callister, and they're explaining everything that's going on, what they're trying to do. Oh God, there was that whole funny bit beforehand that Walton has a rock called Rocky that was his companion, like Wilson from what was it? Shipwrecked? No.
Castaway.
Castaway. Yeah. And he's just talking about how he would just not have been able to survive if it hadn't been Rocky. And she's holding it and she's looking at it and she says, oh, there's a hole in the back. And he said, really? I didn't notice. And she just suddenly goes, ew, and drops it. And he instantly goes, don't drop him on his face.
It's so gross.
So gross. Yeah. But while everybody's talking and trying to figure out a plan, Walton from the real world grabs Nanette's gun and starts shooting at everybody because he wants to kill all of these bandits to erase the evidence that somebody was illegally cloned and put into the game.
Yep. And he actually does kill. There had been one of the members of the crew. I can't remember his name. Kind of the bro dude a little bit.
Carl.
But still. Carl, yeah, exactly, and certainly screwed up in a lot of ways, but of course he gets shot, and I was really hoping that maybe there would be, like, a last-second rescue, but there really wasn't.
Nope, R.I.P. Carl, but... Mm. And then they, like, start strangling Walton from outside of the game, and he goes, exit game, and disappears, and Nanette, clone Nanette, tells regular Nanette, you have to stop him, go, and she exits the game. So she gets out of the game, and she manages to steal the little nubbin thingies that you plug into your forehead in order to get into the game, and she's furious because she's like, he's like, but we've got to kill them. And she said, they're humans. And he said, no, they're not. And yeah, so you've got a real divide there. And she stomps out and he's like begging her. He can't let this go on because his whole company is at stake. She keeps stomping away. He's like, how much will it take? And he starts offering her money, like $250,000, $500,000, and she turns around and says, you're pathetic, and don't you even think about, boom! And she gets hit by a car!
Just mowed down instantly. I mean, I just, out of nowhere.
My notes here, oh, Jesus!
Oh, God. And of course, he, you know, is crouched down next to her. Does he grab the nubbin at that point? I think that's when he actually gets it back.
Yeah, he takes it back. So, and he tells the guy, oh, you better call the ambulance. And he grabs her backpack and all the evidence that she might have had. And he walks away. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Now, here's the real kicker of the episode. While this is happening, Clone Walton is telling everybody what they can expect to find in the Heart of Infinity. And he tells the whole story about when he just inherited the business. And he had gotten contacted by this genius programmer, and he goes to find him in this nice little neighborhood, and he's got this garage workshop set up and all of his collections from all the space fleet stuff. And it seems like Daly was the one who created the technology for the little nubbins in the first place, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, exactly. It was a real early version of it. Like, we see all the little nubbins all over. Everybody in Black Mirror uses them. But this one is when it would be, like, plugged to your forehead or your temple, rather. And it actually still had wires trailing out of it. But yeah, it still was an immersive experience.
But what you find out is Daly wanted it to be just an immersive experience and have people be able to go into the paradise that was this TV TV show that he always loved. But yeah. Walton just kind of browbeats him into the idea that, no, we have to make money off of this. So you have to make it into a game. And he convinces him that he's got to make a whole bunch more planets. And he's leaning on him constantly. And Daly can't keep up. And he's like, there's only one of me. And that's when Walton brings out the DNA cloner. And I think it was his company that had created it. And they were about to release it right when they decided to ban it as a human rights violation. So now they can clone Daly. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, are there going to be like a whole bunch of them? Like he made like tons of them so they could all work on this project at once. The Heart of Infinity is just Daly inside the game, a clone of him who can never leave.
Oh, God. And all he does is just create worlds. That's all he does. And it's just, I actually thought our first sight of him, though, was going to be a little more horrific, you know?
Yeah, because Nanette, she knows she's now going to be seeing Daly, who's been trapped there for probably about 11 years now. But they've got to do it. They've got to figure out some way to get out of the player universe. So she has them beam her into the Heart of Infinity. And the Heart of Infinity is this big, like, multiple interlocking rings spinning in the universe. It's very cool looking, but Walton is like, it's all for show.
Yeah. Now, one quick thing, though, right before she does that, though, she wants to check up on real-world Nanette. And so they've got, you know, the phone that they had used to call her back in the first season. So they use it to call her. But of course, a doctor picks up. And that's when clone Nanette finds out that real Nanette is in a coma and is probably not going to come out of
it. Right. Yeah. So she's got that going on in her head as she beams down. And when she does beam down, she appears in a neighborhood at night with a set of sprinklers and garage doors on this house open, and it's Daly, and he's sitting in his workroom, and he's still making things for the game, although he's like doing this holographic thing where he's kind of twisting a mountain range in between his fingers and expanding it into a planet and then putting it into a floppy disk, I think, bunch of floppy disks. But he also uses telekinesis to bring a floppy disk to his hand without looking. So he doesn't seem to be suffering. He's just really intent on the job that he's doing. And then she had been looking around at all this stuff that was there. And then she suddenly looks down and he's looking at her and it's kind of like hi.
It's actually, for a second there, I thought maybe everything would be okay. Yeah. I mean, he's very, you know, he's a nice guy who's just intent on his work and doing what he's been told, even though he's really kind of lonely. You know, he has been there all by himself. He says something like it may have been like 500 years or something.
Oh, God, I hope that he was just like joking about that or something. Oh, but he says time doesn't, you know, I don't know how time works here. So it could have been that long just for him, for how he experienced things. But
while this is going on, Walton, our Walton, in the clone Walton, is telling the rest of the USS Callister crew, he's telling the story of meeting him and all that kind of stuff, and then he says he's going to go and leave and go meditate at one point, and I swear to God, at this point, I was like, oh God, the whole time was this real world Walton telling everybody this story, you know, and faked it out. And nope, because clone Walton walks around the corner and real world Walton is there and crushes him upside the head.
With Rocky, his rock. And then there's this wonderful little throwaway moment when he looks down at clone Walton and then he looks at the rock and he touches his finger inside a little hole there and it seems to be a little sticky. I'm like, ew!
ew.
So real world Walton strides into the control room and he's trying to pretend. But as soon as Nate, who was the intern in the real world and his second in command here, goes to talk to Walton, Walton gives him his coffee order without even thinking about it. And that puts everybody at high alert. And they're like, are you actually R. Walton? I'm like, yeah, of course I am. Then what's my name? And of course he can't do it because he never learned anybody's names. But what he's able to do before he exits the game, he sends out an invite, a party invite to summon people from around the game. And he manages to summon all of the people that the USS Callister has robbed. And they know it's them because they can see the no player tag listing on the invite. So it's like, it's on now.
Oh, my God. We get a huge space battle here. Like, look, there was a lot of money poured into a really cool space battle at this point.
Now, back in the Heart of Infinity, Nanette has told Daly the entire story of how they all got into the game, and he's very disappointed in himself because he just can't see himself acting like that, and it's really awful. And of course, he's going to help them get a new universe, but he said, wouldn't you rather just leave? And she's like, and he says, I mean, and he like clicks his finger and he's got the security camera to the hospital so he can see Nanette there. He says they've got her hooked up to this, you know, little nubbin to verify her brainwave activity so he could send her consciousness back into her body and it would sort of merge with the other one. And I mean, okay, yeah. I mean, you just have to hand wave this away because I'm sorry.
I was just going to say.
Having a new consciousness does not change the fact that her brain probably rattled inside of her skull like a maraca at some point. There's going to be physical damage that you can't just put a new personality in, but whatever.
I'm just going to say, it's like, I don't know, they actually established some stuff starting in the beginning of the episode that I got part of the way through. I think they've probably have got the technology to fix brains a little bit at this point, so we're just going to go from there.
Yes. So he tells her he can do that, but he says, oh, but you're linked to the ship. So if you leave, they're all going to blink out of existence. And she's like, what? And he said, I mean, they'll never know. But I mean, of course, that's been one of the big divides here is that Daly and Walton don't really see the clones as actual people. And Nanette can't help but think about any clone of a real person as also a real person. So she doesn't want to do that. And she's just like, so save yourself or save the crew. And she's just completely freaking out. And she's like, save the crew. And he's like, you sure? Like, yes, absolutely. So, of course, he was running through a scenario from the Starfleet episode where the captain had to choose between his life or the crew's life. And because he made the right choice, the people who were asking him the question were able to give him the other option, which was instead of save the crew or save yourself, it's save everybody. And I'm like, yay! Oh, this doesn't last long, though.
No. She's really, really super happy. And he says something like, you know, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and take your consciousness and I'll copy and paste it into your actual body. And she kind of like is sitting there nodding. She's like, cut and paste. He's like, what? And she's like, you're going to cut and paste us into this new universe, right? And he said, basically, he says that he can put a copy of her wherever she needs it to go, but he's going to leave a copy here with him. So that he said, I'll be really nice to you and I won't do anything weird unless you want to do that and everything. And you realize, oh God, he's back to his own
tricks. Yeah, I mean, he's still trying to be nice and she's arguing with him and he's freaking out because he's so lonely. And he tells her to stop talking. And then at some point he like gestures at her and erases her mouth, kind of like he did to her face in the first episode. And of course she's freaking out and he's kind of terrified, but he telekinesis her into a shelving. And he's like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You hurt my feelings. I'm not a bad person. And he's just like still talking and he can't be alone. And he's obviously not going to let her go. And then she sees that knife from Starfleet that he had been so proud to show off to Walton. And she grabs it and she throws it and it hits him right in the forehead and you see him bleeding. So you know it's going to be permanent. You're like, and then her mouth comes back. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I did not want to think about her having to try to fix that if he disappeared and it was stuck that way.
Oh God, yeah. So he dies and she comes back up. And so we're like, the showrunners really realized the most horrific image from the very first episode was when he wiped away her face and told her that he could leave her like that forever, struggling to breathe without a mouth, and it would just never end. I'm just like horrified, and they keep coming back to it in this episode. We're like, coming back to it scares you.
So, yeah, that's right. So she hears an alert that the system is shutting down because it was a kill switch, and he had mentioned that he couldn't leave because the whole place disappears if he tries to leave. Like, oh God. And she's desperately trying to find the right floppy disk, and she just screams at the corpse, why don't you label your discs? And she manages to get the disc into the computer and get it activated and download, and the little, you know, process bar goes up to 100 just in time before A, the kill switch wipes everybody out, and B, the USS Callister gets murdered by another player who's actually very good. And it's kind of a shame she's not going to be able to play anymore because Walton is watching all of this. And when everything goes to white, he's cheering that he's managed to fix the problem. And then there's an error message on the screen. And he calls that former employee and asks what that means. And the guy's like, no, that can't be right. It means that everything's been erased. Everything's like been erased.
Everything. It's completely gone. The server's wiped. Everything's wiped out. It is all gone.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there, and he's looking down at Daly's leftover collection of crap from Space Fleet, and there's the comic book, and the issue is titled All Is Lost. Like, oh, very good.
Very good. But what happens next is we see Nanette in the hospital. Well, actually, we see the crew of the USS Callister without her, and they're in the ship, and they're floating around, but they can't see anything out the view screen. They have no idea what's happening, and everything starts moving around and shaking them, and we see a Nanette wake up in the hospital, and she's moving around and pulling stuff off her face and flailing around and punching a nurse, I think, at one point and everything, and it takes us a while to realize the USS Callister is in her head.
In her head. Yep, they're stuck there, and they actually managed to call her, and she's just like, oh my God, you guys are okay? That's wonderful. You'll never guess where I am. And they said, you're in the hospital bathroom. And she's looking at the mirror in the hospital bathroom. How did you know that? And then she drops the phone, and we just pull back. And then it's like a few months later.
Mm-hmm. One thing we see is that Walton, real world Walton, after being on the run for a few months, he did finally get caught. And he is just such a cartoon villain. Like, they're dragging him away and they're putting him in the police car. They start to do the thing where they like hold your head to make sure you don't bonk your head on there. He's like, no, I got it. And immediately bonks his head.
And Nanette is watching all this on TV. So the USS Callister is watching all of this through her eyes. And she's eating popcorn, and she's just delighted that he's gotten caught because of an anonymous tip, which obviously had to have been either her or, you know, one of the USS Callister calling a phone in the real world. But there's a little beep, and it turns out it's time for the USS Callister to watch their show. And she's like, no, I want to keep watching the news. They said, no, we made a deal. We close our eyes and turn away when you go to the bathroom or when you change clothes or when you get a Tinder date. And in exchange, we get to watch our show. And she's like, fine. And she turns on The Real Housewives. And it's great. So they're just kicking back and enjoying it. And she's actually asking questions, and they shush her. And she's like, fuck you. And they said, and I think it was Nate that said, no, fuck you, Captain. She's like, I'm the captain. No, I'm the captain now. Whatever. Fuck you, Captain.
and that's the episode.
That's the end of it.
And it ends with a really badass song. I had to actually like make sure to pause the credits. I really liked the song at the end.
They stuck the landing on that one. I was worried that a sequel would not hold up, or it would also like take away some of the happy ending from the first one. But like, nope, it's great. And Black Mirror did what the best Black Mirror episodes do. It's that you think it's giving you a message, and then it turns things completely around. I thought for sure this was going to be a switcheroo with Daly is now the poor, exploited good guy, and Walton is the horrible, unredeemable bad guy, and everything's his fault. And when you get right down to it, nope, they're both kind of the same. And it's not just the whole idea about the clones not being actual people. It's the fact that I don't think either of them believe anybody other than them are really people. It's just like what they want right then, and that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Just both. I mean, you've got like Walton, who can have anything that he wants, and so he doesn't value people. And Daly, who just wants everything and feels like he can't get it, and therefore just, you know, he's like, he's very much an incel, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He feels like he deserves to have what he wants, and he's going to do whatever he can. I mean, Nanette at one point is like, when he wants to try to talk her into leaving a clone of herself behind, and she was like, this level of power is not good for you, and you can't handle it. And that's the thing, you give them a little bit of power and you really find out what kind of person they are.
Yeah, which is not good, apparently. Not good. And yet the clone Walton, after everything he went through, he did become a good person after all, so that's something.
He did, I guess. I mean, it was all that trauma and all that being subjected to somebody else's will and having to watch his poor son get thrown out of an airlock when Daly cloned him and all that. And he managed to learn something. I mean, he had to have known that that was going to be, he had to have thought that he was going to die, definitely. And it was not going to be a great way to go, but he sacrificed himself for the crew, which I remember a reviewer pointing out, that was kind of what Nanette was willing to do by offering up those intimate pictures of herself in order to blackmail the real world version of herself to do that. Yep. It's not something that Daly would think to do.
No, absolutely not. And that's it. That's the end of the episode. I kind of feel like I almost want to watch it again because I was so worried about how everything was going to turn out. Now I can just watch it and just enjoy the whole thing all the way through.
When I was watching it, I got up to the bit where Nanette gets mowed down by a car, and I had to pause and watch the rest of it the next day because that was kind of a lot.
That was kind of a lot. Oh my God. Jeez. So I'm sure we'll watch some of the other episodes at some point. The one that I was talking about is called Common People. Honest to God, I think I may watch the rest of it at 1.5 speed. You know,
really?
It's just going to be so, it's going to be so awful. It's just going to be terrible. What's happening? Ugh.
I think one of the episodes is called Eulogy, and I think I saw a couple of people on Reddit describe it as sublime.
Oh, okay. That's something. That would be nice.
Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But interesting if they bring back a San Junipero idea. So,
oh, yes. Well, but not actually back to San Junipero, because I love the fact that the person who wrote that episode, people were wondering, you know, was this something where one character decided to die, but the other character, like, created a version of her to accompany her into the machine, and the showrunner's like, nope, they both went into the computer, and they're going to live together, happy forever, the end.
Yeah, I'm very happy with that. Yes, let's leave them where they are. That's fine.
Yes.
But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Hugh put up a review today of the movie Sinners. Had you heard about that one?
I saw a trailer for it in Alamo. I was very intrigued.
Yeah. He liked it, but Hugh does like everything. I think David was okay with it. He was pretty all right with it, I think. I think he said it was fine, but it just sounds like it's just another vampire trope movie, and apparently the effects are good, and there's music.
Yeah.
Like characters actually singing.
The trailer actually looked really fun.
Nice. But check out that review, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So actually, we do have a Night Vale episode ready to listen to right now, but as goes to show, we knew we didn't want to try and cram in a Black Mirror discussion and a Night Vale, so we will do that next week, and anything else that might distract us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
Yeah, and it's just we pick up with our, well, actually, hang on. You better start at the beginning because I can't remember how it started.
Okay. And apparently that technology was banned as a human right. Regular Nanette, you have to stop him. Go. And she exits the game and she manages to steal.
Oh, hang on. Hold it. Hold that thought. I have no idea who that might be. That's weird. All right. Am I still recording? I'm still recording.
Yay.
Okay.
Let me try that again. but he also uses like telekinesis to bring a floppy dip to. Ah, crap.
I'll start another thing.
Oh, Zoom. What am I going to do with you?
There we go. Okay. Na 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 na. All right, go back.
Come on. Oh God, now the computer. And now the computer starts gasping for breath. Great.
Still.
Dang.
Hello, hello.
Hadn't realized we'd gone on quite that long, but yeah, I actually did manage to finish my thought before the screen blinked out, so.
Nice. Very good.